Hey guys, it's Anne. Here we are at episode 6, where we talk about gratitude, celebrity lookalikes, making shit happen, and I interview my friend Adrian about the new meaning of work-life balance. Here we go.
All right, guys, we're doing it. And we're back.
Holy cow.
Woo.
I can't even.
Look at where we are. Look at where we started.
I just love that we're getting together every week.
I know.
It's like my favorite part of this.
Yep. And we should explain what this, so we're in a garage, but it's a very comfy media room.
Yeah.
But it feels like right now we're on the floor 14. We might play Pretty Pretty Princess.
I want to sleep with her.
We might call a boy and hang up. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get my bra frozen.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
yep. good.
I will probably pee my sleeping bag. And hide it from both of you.
Did you like sleeping over?
I did not like it. I was a real homebody when I was little. I mean, I still am. I just didn't have control over it.
More into control issues later.
I'm so homesick.
I remember I was pretty good just because we had to go with the flow. But I remember I got like that look from my parents of, now you only get like 2 times the calls to pick you up in the night. So you better know real fast if you like this girl or not. Because more of just like, you know, when I'm a parent, I'm going to be like, I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. to pick you up.
To come get your crying ass.
Yeah.
How old are we talking about here?
Probably like 1st to 4th grade. And okay. I was fine by the end. Yeah. But there's something about someone telling me it's time to go to bed. Someone else's mom making me food in the morning. You know?
You got food in the morning?
Yeah.
What are these posh sleepovers?
I know. Jeez.
L.A., you guys.
Movie star sleepovers.
Wow, must be nice.
Yeah, we should do a sleepover episode, and we will record ourselves, like, every hour on the hour. until we go to sleep.
And we'll wear those things that record our sleep, and we can see who's the worst.
I just read something on Instagram where Mindy Kaling says, best friend is not a person, it's a tier.
Ooh,
and I was like, holy fucking shit, Mindy.
Damn.
She's specifically referring to being best friends with Oprah. So I was like, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But I was like, I get that.
I do think, though, in my old age, I cancel plans, but having one thing that's easy to look forward to really helps you get through, like, Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Wednesday.
Because it's Wednesday.
Your old age.
You made it.
I made it.
Silly girl. Old age, she says.
You've got the birthday coming up next.
Harry's birthday.
Oh, Friday.
How old?
He'll be 38.
He's only 38?
We gotta get on this.
Oh, yeah. We do.
We, I think, told you we're gonna the game. Harry, you watched the movie.
I didn't finish it, though. I know.
So you don't know how it ends.
Nope. It was good, though.
Yeah, I feel like that's a movie you'd want to watch all
the
way through.
You need to see the it's pivotal.
So the idea is that with this much time before Harry turns 40, we're going to start dropping names to him of, like, fictional people and places.
Yeah.
So that by the time he hits 40, we're, like, fully...
We're gaming him.
We're
going to the game him.
Yeah.
That's great. We need
a, something. Code word.
I think of, like, the game, like, tattoos on the face of the game.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and that's what I thought. So can for those of us that are a little bit older than me, can you explain what year, who, where, what, when, why? What were book reports or current events growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I need who, what, where, when, why.
Of the
I'm
game?
I'm IMDb-ing this.
Do it.
All right, so it's Michael Douglas.
Yep.
And 1997.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's when I peaked.
That was when you were 4.
I was in 7th grade.
After a wealthy banker is given an opportunity to participate in a mysterious game, his life is turned upside down when he becomes unable to distinguish between the game and reality. It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I can't believe he scored Catherine Zeta-Jones. Entrapment's one of my favorite movies, too.
He entrapped her?
He entrapped her. Into the game.
He gamed her?
What if she's the gaming him, but it's like the long con?
Yep, I like that.
Yeah. I got some kids. together.
Yeah, had a couple kids.
Do they?
She's the like going game. Deep with the gaming. Oh. That sounded gross. Sorry. I don't want.
Also, because we're going to play off this gaming thing, you know, when you work in tech, you work with geeks, not nerds, as I like to be called.
Oh.
I feel like everyone plays Dungeons and Dragons, and I have no idea what that is or why that's fun.
Well, it's also making a comeback. It's like vintage. Throwback.
Somewhere Ray's still playing Pokemon Go. Edit that out.
We love you, Ray.
Edit that out. We love you, Ray.
Pokemon Go.
Is that still a thing? Is it still happening? Are people still doing it?
Like, technically still available.
I never downloaded it.
On phones everywhere.
It's hot for
Pokemon,
a
no. I'm doing, I sent you guys the link, but I'm kind of into this whole, like, manifesting workshop, and I was telling Anna a little bit about it, but basically, I'm really good when someone bases something off, like, biology, scientific fact, mm-hmm. psychology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love the ideas of ghosts and psychics and auras, but I also like when someone explains, like, your subconscious mind or trauma bonding or this.
Yep.
But there is something about putting your mind to something, unblocking your thoughts, and, like, no vision board, but, like, manifesting what you see and what you want. And when little signs start happening, you're like, this is insane. Whoa, so I don't know the science behind it, but I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool.
I believe in that stuff so much. I sent, at one point, everyone I knew a copy of You're a Badass.
Yeah.
And that is both Overcoming Imposter Syndrome.
Yep.
Which is basically...
Love that book, yeah.
That title is aspirational. If you're not a badass when you read that book, she's telling you that you could be.
Yeah.
And if you already are, she's telling you something that you might have intuitively known.
Yeah.
And weren't recognizing in yourself.
And just hearing someone... A book you sent me, and I needed it. It was a very crucial time in my life. You know, there were times I was just like, yeah, yeah. And just hearing someone say that, it's like, when's the last time someone told you, you're a badass, you can do this, as opposed to, you can work on this.
Yeah, right. Like, getting past the voices inside telling you, no, you can't, no, you can't.
Yeah. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Si se puede.
Next subject. We've done a lot of reading this weekend. I sent you guys an article about, and we'll post it in the notes, about gratitude and the next generation, teaching the next generation, I guess, about being grateful for things, and how every generation, it's like, these kids don't understand what, you know, we worked so hard for, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, that feeling of not being grateful, or just being handed things, mm-hmm. or, you know, like you were saying before, every kid in soccer gets a trophy, and even if you're not good at something, it's like, you're the best.
Yeah.
Well, so
as a parent, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I see that how that's somewhat of a reality now, especially with social media and people not connecting personally and having this anonymity. Like, I feel we've talked about this in episodes past about just like that lack of community or sense of community.
Yeah.
So I think, you're just, you know. In the article, it talks about how even parents are just shuttling their kids every weekend to different events and, you know, never getting a thank you and, you know, making the dinners every night and, you know, just everyone eating and, you know, doing their own thing, going back to the iPad or the whatever, you know, the video game.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like not even being grateful to your parents for doing little things for you. How do we help? How do we fix it?
How do you fix it? Because you have said more than once here that those are values that you really try to instill in your kids. So you were aware of it before the Wall Street Journal decided to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it caught your eyes. You were like, wait, that's me.
Yeah. I think that Well, growing up in a Catholic household, that was kind of instilled in us in that way. Like religion, it talks in that article, it talks about religion being and or faith-based, even believing in, you know, something bigger than you makes you think of, you know, this isn't just about me. There's some force or some other being that's helping me navigate through the world, or, you know.
They talk about saying grace at the table.
Saying grace at the table.
This idea that you're even expressing gratitude for your food.
Yeah, thanking God or whatever you believe in. So I grew up with that, and, you know, we worked in charities growing up, and just seeing other people that didn't have as much as we did. And we were just always instilled in us that you're just thankful for what you have, and you don't, you know, you're never wanting more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're thankful for what you have. You strive for more, but you're never.
Yeah.
What, I don't know. What's the word that I'm, you know, kind of like, oh my gosh, well, Susie has the best sneakers. Yeah. Kind of like a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or just work hard for it. And then, you know, you earn it kind of thing. It's never just handed to you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I have a strong opinion on this, and while I agree with everything you said, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Let's do it.
Ooh la la.
And I grew up also in a very faith-based household where you're instilled servant leadership, you only take as much as you need, blah, 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 blah. For me, though, where the gratitude is hard for me is I 100% believe that I have it harder than my parents did. I graduated in a recession. My student loans were what my parents paid for their first house. Keeping a job, I've had 4 jobs in 10 years, 2 of which I got laid off during the recession. So, you know, I think every generation thinks they had it harder. I would argue that I think our generation, compared to baby boomers, has it a little harder, and our kids might even have it harder. But I think what we're talking about is, when there's high challenge, you also have to have high support. And I think when you have high support, you can have more gratitude.
Wow.
Yeah.
If I didn't have as much support, I think I'd be bitter and mad and sad and kind of just ungrateful more.
Your hair looks so beautiful right now.
Thank you. I'm so thankful for my hair.
Like, it's hard to listen to the words coming out of your mouth because just your hair looks so beautiful.
Thank you. So, speaking of not being materialistic... My hair girl's awesome, and she hand paints the balayage.
Balayage, yeah.
So it took like 5 hours, and worth it.
Did you use a curling iron on this, or is this a flat iron?
Curling iron, but you know, maybe I'm born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, I mean, you look ethereal.
Yes.
I think that's a good point. And the one thing that I didn't feel like they acknowledged in the story is that when you're a kid, you don't have control over your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so gratitude, I feel like, emerges from an understanding, but it also emerges from control.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I am grateful for how I spend my time. I'm grateful for the things my money buys me. Kids don't have
that
kind of control. You know, mm-hmm. I was a very scheduled kid. You know, I was lucky to get to do sports and get to do piano lessons. Mm-hmm. I didn't choose to do those. I got signed up for those.
Right.
And so this idea, and this is what it's funny because I thought I was going to be the only person who disagreed with the article a little bit, is when I read that article and they're like, kids aren't grateful for anything. I'm like, I'm grateful for being an adult where I have control over my time now. You know, like I didn't wake up and say like, you know, I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need.
Right.
Like, You don't have choices about how you spend your time when you're a kid. And so this idea that I should be grateful for how I'm being scheduled just, I think, is a very adult perspective on things.
Yeah. Sure.
I will say I have, through a couple periods in my life, kept a gratitude journal.
Mm.
And what they say is, like, when you wake up in the morning, get a piece of paper out and just write 3 things that you're grateful for. And what I found was I really loved the hygiene of that practice of, like, I'm going to wake up, maybe I'm in a bad mood, maybe I didn't sleep well, and the first thing I write is, I'm so grateful that it's morning because now I don't have to roll around in bed awake. You know, and it's like kind kind of reframing
yeah.
the things that are troubling you and being able to say, I'm so grateful that I've got control over my time right now. Yeah. Really getting to actually reframe how you think of things. And yeah. I think if there was something that I was looking at for kids these days,
sure.
I think it would be this idea of reframing. Even for what you were saying, Courtney, like you were saying, you feel like you had it worse than your parents. Would there be some way where you could reframe that?
Yes.
Where your parents aren't causal
right.
in that statement? Because it's not their fault that their mortgage was less than
I have way
loans.
More opportunity and way more freedom.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this, have you guys been there? It's near Carp. It's next to a grocery store. It's like you can go in there and buy crystals and Buddhas, but in the back they have separate huts where you can sit and journal and just be in nature.
What?
It's amazing. It's a secret place. I'm blanking on the name. We'll put in the show notes. And when I first went there, my friend took me and I'm like, okay, rub your crystals on me. Like, I love it, but like, okay. But what was crazy is as you're walking around and every corner on every wall is a little saying that's either you are loved or take this day and appreciate. And I maybe spent 10 minutes in this store mm-hmm. and just seeing the positive affirmations
yeah.
I left. It's like, how negative am I all day that I don't even realize it? Where when you're seeing them, and so I even wrote on my mirror in my bathroom like a positive affirmation. I never thought I'd be that person.
No,
it really does help.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really does help to see it.
Will you share what your affirmation is?
Yeah. It's really simple. And actually, a friend drew it for me and I loved it. It's just, you have the choice and it's two dots and a happy face or a sad face. And so every time you look at it, you choose like the happy and you kind of just think of what you're grateful for.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
That's amazing.
And then I did one today on my Instagram story. I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, give love, don't seek love. It's like the ocean doesn't seek water. And it took me a while to read it, but it basically was like the whole thing is like, give love and love yourself and like love will come back.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. As opposed to being like, why is that guy not like me? Or I don't feel loved by blank.
Yeah. Not focusing on what you don't have.
Right.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But I did have to read it like four times.
Dude, like,
what
really
do you mean the ocean
it?
Doesn't need water?
You're like,
the ocean is water.
Water.
It's salt water, damn it. No. You're all fucking lying to us.
It's snow melt.
Yeah.
It's salty.
We're losing our oceans.
It's from a river. Water world.
Yeah.
Drinking water. Maria, I'm so grateful that you brought that story.
I don't know. What do you guys?
Yeah. No, it's true. I have so many opinions. We could tangent off into so many things.
I mean, maybe not little kids, but if I see like some spoiled teenager talking yeah. back to his mom in the middle of like bonds, you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, how good do you have it right now?
Yeah.
It's those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, really? Dude.
Do you think that article was just one giant passive-aggressive dig at some kid that you
in bonds?
Yes.
Yeah. They're like, control your kids.
Also, writer for the Wall Street Journal.
But also, like, if your kid's an asshole,
yeah.
you're probably an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Do you think it's cultural, though? Like, and you lived in Texas for a while.
Yeah.
Today at orientation, we had a lot of kids from the Texas office.
Yeah.
And... just little things. Like, I walked in on the shuttle today. I was a little late. And at least three guys, not even seeing each other, stood up to give the female the seat. And it's such a simple thing. And I'm just like, man, Texas boys.
Courtney, why were you late?
Well, yeah, no. It was lunch.
She's getting her hair balayage.
No, it was lunch. And I had to pee. And I said, can you guys hold save a seat for me? I'm not.
Got it.
And then when I came on, three guys got up. And I was like, oh.
I was actually gonna talk about growing up in Santa Barbara because I definitely grew up around kids who had a lot of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say money doesn't solve problems, I believe it. Like, there was nothing about growing up around those kids who lived in Montecito that I ever envied.
I've heard that a lot from a lot of people in Santa Barbara.
And I think I'm really grateful that I had that experience because I think it really set for me a difference between wealth and happiness and this idea of like I never had this illusion of like, oh, if only I could have that beautiful house.
But I do get jealous of people who have nice houses and good parents.
And good parents.
Yeah, the kids who always had like every drink in the fridge.
Yeah.
God damn it.
You're thinking of like Meryl Streep's children.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you guys have a case of Tiger's milk bars in the pantry?
You have
like,
Nesquik these are like and Ovaltine?
These are like $2 a piece at the store. It's like, yeah. You have a
whole... Here we go!
Or Halloween candy. Their parents bought like the king size where my parents were like, here are the Smarties. I'm like, no one's going to want to stop by our house.
Okay, when you eat Smarties, I feel like there's only one right way to eat Smarties.
All of them at once?
Sort of. I think you have to stack them like two, maybe three at a time, depending on the
same
size
color?
You know. No, but however they come out, stack them, and then bite them with your molar.
Oh, I got that ting
Smarty
in my...
sandwich.
I felt it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Necco wafers?
No. Mm-mm. They're chalk.
Sweet tarts?
Oh, I just finished a roll of sweet tarts today.
Did you really?
Yeah, they're actually really hard to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like very, like, opposite of Smarties. Smarties, you're crushing with your molar,
yep.
Two
yeah.
at a time. Sweetheart, I was in my office and I was like, I'm going to choke to death and no one is going to know I'm in here.
For 3 days.
No. They're going to find my body when I start to stink.
Yep.
Because I choked on a sweetheart.
Well, I'm glad you made it for this podcast.
Thank you. TBD.
Are you still, I'm a huge candy person.
Yeah.
But I like sour gummies.
Oh, me too.
My new favorite's like these octopus sour gummies.
So, oh!
And I bite off their legs and I eat their head.
Are they, what? Is the octopus top bulbous or is it 2D?
Bulbous.
Where do you get them?
Chevron, Save-On.
No!
They
I've
all
never
heard
rich
of these.
People candy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of these things.
I know, I'll bring them in. They're real good.
I'm being serious. Please bring them in.
No, I will.
Are they different flavors?
Yeah, it's green and blue. One octopi. Octopus. Octopi's dead. red and blue, and then orange and yellow. They're good.
Okay, so it's sort of like gummy worms.
Because I like gummy worms, gummy octopus. And then I saw at one CVS, they're doing gummy... they're doing gummy beards, like hipster beards. So I'll bring both those in next week.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was just up in San Diego and I went to the... I don't know what it's actually called. We call it the Candy Barrel. I don't know if you've ever been there. Mm-hmm. It's right in downtown. It's Solvang, actually. And I used to go there when I was a kid because my grandparents lived up there. And I just got a shit ton of candy, but it was all gummies and sours.
Yep.
And I got a fried egg gummy.
Yes.
What?
And it was really good, but it was lemon flavored.
No.
Not that I wanted it to be egg flavored.
I was going to say.
But it was like, eh, I wouldn't get it again.
I love, sour gummy, and I also love Cinnabears.
No.
Yes.
Courtney,
I like cinnamon.
I know.
It's making my tongue burn.
I just love them.
You know what I really love are the peach, not the rings. They're called like halves, peach halves.
Mm.
They're really good.
Should we all bring in our favorite candy next week?
I have to go
to our sleepover.
I think I have to order them online.
What's
here we
your
go.
Fave?
It's the Ralph Lauren, his daughter.
Oh, wow. I guess we're just all
what? No,
fancy.
No.
Candy now. Okay.
She has her own brand. Yeah. So the gummy bears that she has.
What?
I can't find them around here.
There's Ralph Lauren's daughter's gummy bears?
Yeah.
It's called Dylan's Candy Bar.
How did she get the money to start that?
Well, what do you think?
Those
are the best gummy bears I've ever had.
Really?
He brought me some.
Yeah.
He went on a trip one time. Palm Springs?
Palm Springs.
Yeah. Those were hella good.
I also I'm going to butcher this. Lick a dip.
Lick a dip. Well, I'm just laughing because it's
so fun. Dip?
Lick a dick.
Is it fun dip?
Fun dip.
Lick a dip.
What was it?
Fun
when you
dip.
Had a little white.
She said lick a dick.
I know.
Yeah, lick a dick. That's what we used to call it though when we were like, you know, cool. Seventh grade when I peaked. No, I'm joking. A little white chalk thing and you could dip it just in pure
and
fucking
flavor.
Sugar.
Yeah. Different flavors.
And it was like the 3-packet and I just. See ya. Amazing.
Go for it.
Yeah.
We wonder why our kids aren't grateful. We feed them things like that and we send them
just
off.
Pumped full of sugar.
You must not know about me.
You must not know about me. I can have another you in a minute.
Matter of fact,
he'll be here in a minute. Baby.
Ooh, that was good.
Hey.
Yeah, it's like cringing. Okay, stop. I don't have any wine either. I had no wine this.
I love it.
This is why I can't wear makeup to work too. Like, it's. But the, you know what I mean? It's just like I'm never gonna be the girl who like.
So I realized who my celebrity doppelganger is.
Who?
Steve Bannon.
No.
I looked in the mirror today, and my eyes were super bloodshot. I don't know if it's because of my glasses. And I was like, wow.
You know who's not your celebrity lookalike, who I think's really pretty, who you can start... No, sorry. No. I didn't mean like that. She's really pretty. You're really pretty. But there's similarities. But it's not like this is exactly who you look like.
Shelley Duvall.
No. What's no? Oh my god. I know her. No. I think Amanda Peet is really pretty.
Oh, I love Amanda Peet.
Yeah. And sometimes you look like Amanda Peet.
Oh my god. Really,
but But I also hate when someone says you look like Amanda Peet, and it's like, no, you're not. You know.
Yeah. Although I think you're not being worse genuine when someone. Says that you look like a celebrity who's ugly.
I told someone they look like Stephen Merchant, and then they were like, "Like, I love Stephen Merchant.
I think that's a compliment.
Amanda Peet's so pretty.
Yes.
Actually, you don't look like Amanda Peet now, though. Young Shelley Duvall.
Very young Shelley Duvall.
Young Shelley Duvall. Not
80. Wait, and Amanda Peet went to Columbia.
I have my very dear friend, Adrian, here. We're going to talk about an exciting project that he's working on. So, Adrian, I first met you in 2010.
Yes.
We've known each other for 8 years.
Well, you know the seven-year mark is permanent friendship. If you're friends with someone for 7 years...
I didn't know that.
Then you're just going to be friends forever.
Oh, yeah. Friends forever. Yeah, I like
friends
that.
Friends forever. FF.
Well, we just had an amazing day. We just went to the farmer's market. We got some kombucha. We're loving the sunshine. And now we're going to talk about what Adrian is up to with his life. So when I met him, we were in business school. We had a study group, The Handsome Geniuses, which we were. And then we both just went on to other things. And so this is the first time in a very long time that we've lived in the same state. We're living even in the same city for a little while. But Adrian, you have a very exciting project that you're working on that I'd love to just ask you some questions about.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
All right. So you are working on a book.
Yeah, I'm working on a book. So before I joined the MBA program, I was a consultant, a management consultant, living in the Bay Area. I was living in San Francisco, had an apartment there.
Intense.
Very rapid paced as well. And so I had this nice apartment in San Francisco, but I never got a chance to see it. When I decided, and this was like 2009, when I decided to leave that job, it was a very uncertain time. The recession just happened.
Yes.
The world was just kind of like in utter dismay. And so instead of like being like, okay, well, I'm going to go jump over into a tech job or go and jump over into a job, somewhere else, I decided just to take some time off. And so I took I did my own sabbatical.
Nice.
I went off to Argentina. I spent 4 months there. We have a family friend who has an apartment there, and he said, yeah, go ahead and use it, you know, and hang out in Buenos Aires. And so I learned Spanish.
That's amazing. I got
a private tutor for $7 an hour. I got a private tutor. I had already known Spanish. I'm from South Texas, but I wanted to just elevate my Spanish skills. And so I did that. I went to Patagonia, went to Mendoza, went to Rio. I mean, it was a really amazing time off. And it was cheaper than weekends in San Francisco.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was insanely cheap. So I took that time off. And then when I came back and I wanted to enter the workforce, I had come back rejuvenated. I was really excited about what I wanted to do next. And
when you talk about the book, you said there's essentially three parts to the book, which is... How do you decide that you're going to do something like
this? First is the decision, just making that decision. That's probably the first step.
What is different about today's work environment that was not the environment that our parents experienced?
I think now we're just living in this always on information age. And it's something where always on is great, but it's also one of those things that we're needing to get some time away from. And we're not getting that in our workplace.
And what about just taking vacation?
And just taking vacation has just become insanely hard nowadays.
Yeah.
It's literally like I have right now, the company I'm at, I have unlimited vacation, which sounds like a dream. Wow, you can go vacation. Yeah, right. Good luck trying to take even more than just a week off. But the second part is actually going on the trip itself.
Actually doing it.
Like actually doing it. The money part, the buying the ticket, the money, the budget, the how much time could you really spend?
That's
what
great.
What can you afford on the trip? Who's going to be with you? Are you going to be with friends some of the trip and then on your own a second part of the trip? I always like recommending, you know, both, like just a lot of your friends are probably unable to take, you know, 6 weeks off, obviously, but they can take like a week off.
Yeah.
And sure, they'll want to, if you have an excuse to go off to Southeast Asia, they'll definitely join for that first week. And then you can go off and do your own part after that.
Was it lonely?
There are parts that are very lonely, but you find ways to cope with that by surrounding yourself with other people that are kind of in that same mindset. Right now, the system isn't built to support that. And
you
have
to
really
get it.
I hope it does. I feel like there's a little bit more of a social conscious movement going on with companies and knowing that they want and understanding that this always on in your phone, you know, is ringing off, you're giving the notifications and an email's there. Somebody needs something immediately. There's that constant like edge that's there. And I think employers are starting to realize that they don't want everyone to hop around every year or two. They want to keep people around.
So the third part of the book is how do you get a job when you get back?
Now you're come back. You did your Eat, Pray, Love tour. And now you're ready to go back into the workforce.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you know, let's be honest. You worked for a major consulting company right out of undergrad.
Yeah.
You went to a very prestigious undergrad institution.
Yeah.
You have a master's degree. You have a pretty impressive resume. You say, oh, it only took me a couple weeks to get another job. Realistically, what are people facing when they go back to try to get a job and have to explain a gap on a resume, which is you always get asked the question.
Yes.
Why are you leaving the job you have? Okay, well, how do you answer that when you don't have a job?
So I don't think that the gap part is as seen as detrimental as it maybe it was. But the other part is actually the search. And the search of finding an opportunity really comes down to the people that you're surrounding yourself with and the network you have, but also the opportunities that are out there and just applying for stuff. The way that I see it is like you're basically shopping for a job. And we all love to shop.
I love shopping.
Shopping's great. We love shopping online, and shopping for jobs is how I see it. And you're kind of seeing all these opportunities you may not have really known before existed. You put a couple skill sets in there and see what shows up, and you're like, yes, I can do that. And then you start finding out what the company does, and you start reading mission statements, and you start reading these descriptions that are so inspiring, and they really catch your eye, and you're like, wow, this is actually a mission-driven job.
Like, oh, I love
really.
That.
This is something that I can really get around and really be excited about. And that comes through in the whole recruiting process as well.
So it also sounds like you are getting to connect your purpose for leaving your job.
Yeah.
Getting to connect the purpose for traveling.
Yes.
You come back and you're actually bringing that new perspective to the hiring market.
Yeah, and you're just connecting the dots along the way. So you're in that process, you're telling the story of how you got to this point.
The
narrative. And you're basically just essentially doing
that. I love that.
Look, the iPhone was introduced 11 years ago.
Oh my God.
If you can think about how much our lives have changed in the last 11 years, it's insane.
It's crazy. It's a new world.
It's a new world. But, you know, our employers haven't really changed that much. In fact, they've actually changed so that, yes, you are expected to show up from 9 to 5, but now that you have technology, you're also supposed to be available from 5 to 9. And so now you're just always on. And so the way that my approach has been, you know, in the meantime, as employers are trying to figure this out, set your boundaries and be willing to set yourself up for success 11 years from now.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they'll catch up.
I love that. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with me.
Great being here.
How do we tell that story? Is there any way for us to tell that story?
Next week, we're having Andrew Arnold call in and Marie and you three tell the story.
About the limo ride?
Give us a promo for next week. 3, 2...
Tune in next week when we talk about a limo ride from the Beverly Hilton Hotel back to 505 Poli Street You won't want to miss it.